principle and a tenet of within Islam, and it's that the value of every action is it kind of hinges and depends upon two things. First of all, the person should do it based upon reason. It should stem from a proper understanding of why that thing is necessary and good. And also the person, and this the second one is also tied up to the first one. The person should have performed it voluntarily, right? At the time of death and at these kind of times, according to what we've learned about from the Quran and these kind of things, is that Allah's signs become manifest for a person, and he begins to witness these realities that he's been told about, directly witness them. So actually believing in these things at this time is not similar to the case where somebody believes in something through reason and through his aql, right? For this reason, and because of this, the person's his faith, it doesn't really have the same kind of value. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the conditions for repentance and when it is accepted. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Immersion in the virtual world.
Part 1.
Searing graphic images, a cool and immersive universe where you are the hero. It's far from Mom and Dad's Pong, Tetris, and Super Mario. But today's video games are also about money. Lots of money. An industry that racks up $83 billion a year, according to some financial experts. That's more than the movies. To sell, what works is often used and abused. Sex, and especially violence. It stands out in big box stores. The most numerous and visible games are not recommended if you are under 18 years old. In the world of psychopaths or even soldiers, the idea is to lick the enemy. The real problem is when you then tour the video game salons, like here at Polymanga, and observe that lots of boys couldn't care less about the age limit. Youth who play a lot and parents who are often lax? Pay attention. Yes, because even if most players suffer no after effects, about 10% of adolescents have problems with this virtual world, according to some European studies. 1 out of 10, and a percentage on the rise. Heading the concerns, the time spent daily, violence or not. Christian, 16 years old, is no longer a rare case. Family time together becomes rare with these addictions. Christian parents are divorced, thus the perfect opportunity to play twice as much. According to Christian, it's sports that saved him. And for a year now, he has abandoned his joystick to pump iron. A vicious circle that is not always easy to escape. Mike is 19 years old, with Swiss and American citizenship. He was immersed in FPS video games at a young age, first-person shooter games.
I've played games ever since I was a kid, really, with my friends, by myself, with my family, always. Back then, it was just, a hobby that I would do for fun and something that, a common hobby that I would share with my friends. But then eventually it started getting to the point where I was depending on it emotionally.
And how addictive did it get?
it got to the point where it probably could have ruined my life. And if I don't take care of it right now, it could still do that. But I feel like nowadays I'm just a little bit too self-aware to let that happen.
Would you use the term of addiction in your case?
Definitely.
Mike could pass 8 hours a day playing, targeting, and shooting. When we met him, he'd been in therapy for 18 months in a detox center in Geneva.
But so when it came up here, that the idea was like, no, you're not going to have the computer during the week when you're in school.
And you're not going to be able to do those things that you wanted to do.
So what was that? So you felt like you were losing something?
Yeah, I definitely felt like I was losing something. I felt like I was losing opportunity to get away from the world longer. There's that.
Okay. Can you explain that to me a bit more, this whole being away from the world? And so you sit at the computer, there's already this physical feeling of sitting there that makes you feel, how would you say it?
I'm not so sure. I don't think, maybe we should rephrase what I said earlier, not away from the world, maybe just away from society for the moment, or at least the part of society that I don't want to be part of, because one, you know, I'm in front of the computer, and when I do engage with the people on the computer, I'm engaging with the people that I want to engage, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, having to deal with the people in the bus and the people on the sidewalk and the people at school and the teachers and all that. It's just who I want, pretty much what I want.
After having spent part of his childhood in the United States, Mike now lives with his mother in Geneva. Like many parents, his mother didn't realize what was happening. Today, Mike only plays on the weekend. The attraction remains strong. When it's Friday night, he doesn't head for the bars, but rather to his bedroom.
A year and a half ago, when I did start the therapy, I still didn't think about, you know, my habits about, you know, playing games and how often and, like, my dependency on it. Even though I was kind of aware that, you know, it was something that was there, I was just kind of like, eh. Just wasn't something that I was able to think about. And now just the fact that I know so much about it and that I have the want to improve, that already is just huge to me.
Endless immersion in the virtual world, a growing problem for this referral center in Geneva. A specialized center initially for drug addiction. So, a new drug, with what effect on behavior? It's the central question of our inquiry, the most polemic. Because if the majority of addicts pull through with help, regrettably, it's not the case for everyone. Isolation, violence, and taking action are the heart of a tragedy that shook the U.S. Chronology of a tragedy that rekindles the debate.
Sometime before 9:30 a.m., Adam Lanza pulled out of the driveway at 36 Yogananda Street for the last time. Several minutes later, he pulled into Riverside Drive. He drove past a sign that read, Sandy Hook Elementary School, Welcome Visitors, and made a slight loop around the Sandy Hook parking lot. He pulled to a stop against the vertical yellow lines of the school's fire lane. Adam hesitated briefly at the entrance, then stepped back, pointed the rifle at the large plate glass window to the right of the door and pulled the trigger 8 times. Pop, 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 pop. The explosion of glass and gunshots echoed throughout the hallways and classrooms of Sandy Hook Elementary, destroying the peace and tranquility forever.
There has been a deadly shooting at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut.
This is an ABC News special report.
And we do have the breaking news of a shooting at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut. The worst grade school shooting in U.S. history, at least 27 dead, 20 children, 7 adults, including the principal, and the gunman killed himself.
We now know his name. We know he's 20 years old, Adam Lanza.
Officials say Lanza shot his mother, Nancy, multiple times, killing her in her bed.
The looming question is why this man then decided to come to this school. He shows up at a place where they're making gingerbread houses in preparation for the holidays and Christmas presents. Just kids. A man in black enters with a vest and multiple weapons and begins a massacre.
Hours after the massacre, the New York journalist Matthew Lisiak was sent on site. He investigated Newtown for nearly 5 months.
In telling this story, it's not to glorify a killer. It's to try to understand why this happened. Because if we stop trying to really figure out why these things happen, we give up the future to the next killer. And I have four daughters. You know, I'm not prepared to let that happen.
Why does this massacre also interest us? Police quickly made a stunning discovery in the Lanzas' home. Bedroom windows covered with black plastic bags, a den full of arms and ammunition, but also computer screens, computer consoles, and video games.
They also found a list that he had compiled that was extremely precise and sophisticated, unlike anything people have seen, of mass killings in America, internationally, I believe. And it read like high scores in a video game. Number one, number two, number three, kills, weapon used. So he studied these people. He studied it all, trying to make himself on the very top, which is one of the motivating factors. I think he went into Sandy Hook. He was trying to kill as many people as possible. If you went into a mall, people could run. You go classroom to classroom, nobody has anywhere to go.
Reverence was quickly squashed by heated debates. Looking to point the fingers, on the one hand, the weapons are at fault. On the other, video games.
Vicious, violent video games with names like Bulletstorm, Grand Theft Auto.
What about the violence in our video games? The depiction of these assault weapons again and again.
Violence, the realism that you find in games and movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Barack Obama.
It became urgent to calm the fire. Thus, in January 2013, the American president pleaded for exploring all leads. Better control of gun access, of course, but not only that.
Those who oppose even modest gun safety measures have threatened to defund scientific or medical research into the causes of gun violence. I will direct the Centers for Disease Control to go ahead and study the best ways to reduce it. And Congress should fund research into the effects that violent video games have on young minds. We don't benefit from ignorance. We don't benefit from not knowing the science of this epidemic of violence.
A message that is heard. Seven professors of the American Psychological Association got together. An independent task force made public the results of an enormous meta-analysis on violent video games. Before returning to Newtown, direction Washington, D.C., I met one of the seven professors of the task force.
The work that was done was quite extensive. What a meta-analysis is, it's basically a summary of all the existing research. We started with about 170 studies, and it took us about 2 years. There were things that we found in the literature review. We had people, we contacted scholars who were well-known in the field, asked them to send us recent studies we may not know or anything they thought that we should be aware of. And we just accumulated all of them and sorted through them all and scored them and read them and spent a lot of time evaluating them.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Tour the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
An age of excitement and great expectations. A time to learn and make friends. It's all but the wonders of youth, making us do strange experiments, teaching us what we never knew before, till one day we all suddenly realize the passing of youth with grin and awe. For youth may never return with all its nonchalant ways. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. This is Youth Station. I am Asma and...
Assalamu alaikum, sister. I'm Hassanain.
And assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. I hope you all are doing well. And welcome to today's show. Welcome to IRB English Radio.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam, brother. How are you doing?
I'm good, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I'm good.
Yeah. And from the poem I read, it means that the story of today is all going to be about youth.
Interesting topic. A youth speaking for youth. That's good. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And when the young age is going to end.
Yeah.
Which that's, feels a bit that's of tragic.
Saddening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's saddening. So, yeah. So live your life. Spend your youth days well. Make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with the notion that says youth is something in your heart and not in your identity card?
Yeah. That might be said. There's nothing wrong in it. Like, even when you... First of all, like, again, what do you mean by youth?
Mm-hmm.
This decides the answer for the question you asked. What do you mean by youth? Like, you say, like, you know, even when someone is in their old age,
mm-hmm.
They're still young by their heart.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by young and what do you mean by youth? So
what we usually think of youth is the much of passion and energy that you have at a certain time, at a certain era of your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We call that youth. Because I guess you understand that as well, because after you pass a certain age, you come to this conclusion that, okay, I don't have the energy that I had 10 years ago.
Okay, so when you're talking in terms of energy, so do you consider youth as the physical power?
It's both physical and mental, because the amount of inspiration that you have in your youth is pretty much more than the inspirations that you're going to get when you're old.
So more like inspirations.
Well, let me just put it this way. There is this active time of your life and this passive time of your life.
Mm-hmm.
As for me personally, I think this way. That youth is going to be considered up until the time that you are active mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that time when you no longer feel like active and you go to that passive phase of your life, mm-hmm. you're going to be called old. Well,
okay,
this
so,
is my
yeah.
definition.
So it's basically more like an inspiration, right? Like an
mm-hmm.
inspiration to do something. When you aspire to do something, even in your old age, you never think it's too late for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So like even when you're in 50s and 60s, you don't think it's too late to start a new business. So that's, I guess, more like an inspiration to do something. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, so that in that sense, you might say that, you know, someone might be old but young by their heart.
Yeah, it might be. But again, we have this question that would come up into your mind that when you get into an age that you no longer call yourself young, what thinking would get into your mind? I mean, would there be any regrets necessarily?
First of all, I think there are these certain factors that... lead you to think that you're no more young.
Mm-hmm.
The factors might be, and talking in terms of physical strength.
Yeah, of course.
When a man feels old, when he tires really quick. So he feels like, you know, oh, no, come on, man, I'm getting old. So
I have to take a car. I can't
yeah, yeah,
walk.
This is not for me. Like, you know,
yeah.
when he picks up his grocery stuff and suddenly he feels pain in his back. So he feels like, you know, I'm getting old, man.
Mm.
So, and this, yeah, and when he has to do something big, and as we spoke about already, that, you know, he wants to start something new.
Mm-hmm.
So he fears that, you know, he would fail, he wouldn't succeed. So that time he would think that, yeah, I'm pretty much old for this. I need to be young. So in these terms, so he might not necessarily be old, but these are the factors that may make him feel old.
Yeah. So at any case, eventually, there is a time at which we're going to feel, okay, I'm no longer young.
Yeah.
Let's not just call it old. I'm not young anymore.
Yeah. Certainly, yeah. This time, then. It's a phase of a life, yeah. Right?
How are you going to feel then?
Okay, how am I going to feel then depends upon how I have lived my life when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
How I have spent my youth days is going to decide how am I going to feel when I'm old.
So think about it, and I want a certain answer for that, but mm-hmm. we have to go for a break. Dear youth, this is your program, and we're talking about when Youth Station is going to finish, when you are going to cross that station and get into another era of your lifetime. And I asked you a question, and you were supposed to give me a certain answer.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the question was, like, how am I going to feel when I'm old? So I said the... It's going to be decided by how you have lived your life when you were young.
Yeah.
So what I personally believe is whatever you do now or whatever you have done in your past, basically, let's say, just you know, in this situation, whatever we have done in our youth decides or shapes our future, rather. I would
of
say
course.
It will shape
yes.
our future. So like how we have lived in a life and youth, so it shapes our future. So like, you know, if you have lived a good life in the aspects of deen and dunya, like, you know, we worked hard, you know, we earned a good amount of money. So we were able to provide for our family and we were able to save some for our future. We would have helped the people living around us.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, also the aspect of deen. Of religion and faith. So, you know, you had taqwa, you had piety,
mm-hmm.
You were God-fearing.
So you mean that if you have considered God in every step of your life, then also
you'd be happy.
You have created your old age.
Yeah, you would be prosperous.
Yeah.
You'd basically be prosperous. So like in the youth days, okay, so this youth is a very critical stage of life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very, actually, very critical stage of life. There are many hadith of Imam Asum, alayhim as-salam, that, you know, there's a very critical stage of life. The ibadat, the religious practices of a youth are more worthy than that of an old person.
Yes.
In Allah, you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, because that young person has got too much of passions for doing many things. Yet
right.
he picks,
yeah,
he or
right.
she
so,
picks
yeah.
the praying.
He has so much of distractions
mm-hmm.
and he has so much of, you know.
Temptations.
Exactly. Yeah, he has so much of temptations, you know, to commit sins and all.
Yeah.
And, you know, his age itself is very tempting.
Exactly.
Which will take him, you know, to sin.
And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that the youth is the spring of your life. So we can take it from this saying that the youth is the actual true chance mm-hmm. for a person to make the best of their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So as for me, when I think about it, when that days come and I think that, okay, I'm no longer young and I am turning into an old person, all I can think about is that feeling is going to be so sad. You know why? because it is true that in every step of life, we see death so close to us.
Right.
And there might be a huge chance for us not to even leave to the night or make it till the morning. But as you get old, you think like, okay, death is my company right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this feeling is that this thought is the main factor that makes old age look tragic, sad, or, you know, all the negative adjectives.
So, you know, you regret over here, right?
Regret in the, you know, there are times in your life when you think, okay, if I go back, what would have I done?
Mm-hmm.
Many storylines are going to come into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You would say that, okay, I might have done this or that. We have this poem. I usually think about it. The road not taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always
What would have been the result?
Yeah. What if I have taken the other road?
Mm-hmm.
What if I have been into another decision? What if I have gone into another, I don't know, decision? What would have happened
then? But once again, I would like to remind over here that, you know, these type of questions that comes into our minds, like what would have happened if I would have done this or if I wouldn't have done that? You know, there's a good thing, like, when you think about it, but there's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen that do not worry about the things
mm-hmm.
that has not happened with you.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm not talking about, like, don't think about it. Like, Amir al-Mu'mineen over here says, do not worry about the things. Like, you know, worry in the sense, you know, you're thinking of the bad incidents.
Yeah.
So that could have happened with you, but mm-hmm. they didn't happen with you.
Yeah.
So do not think about that. And don't worry about it
mm-hmm.
because you already have a lot of stuff that is happening with you. So you need to take care of that.
Exactly.
For example, like, you know, you travel like, you know, 100 kilometers with your car. So you don't have to worry. Oh, what would have happened if, you know, if I would have smashed into the railing on the way?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to think about these things.
Yes, but it is the nature of human beings, I suppose. We worry about every single thing. Or maybe it's different
from
men and women.
It's not the nature. I don't believe it's the nature. It's just, you know, overthinking. Like, you know, is the evil thoughts that Satan puts into your mind. So overthinking. So we need to think positive.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was saying, like, you know, coming back to the answer, coming back to our question. So, you know, this the ibadat or the ibadat of the youth, the religious practices of the youth are more worthy than that of the old people.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
We are addressing the youth, right? So let me ask you. So nowadays we usually find, you know, when we go to the mosque and all, we find more old people. The ratio of the elderly people is more than that of youth.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you mentioned, when a person gets old, he feels, you know, death is more closer to him now. So I feel like I don't have to do anything now. So let's just, you know, spend a few years in the ibadat and praying mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what if he had done the same thing while he was still in his youth?
Yeah, it would have been more valuable.
Would have been more valuable, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if he spent his deen well, if he spent his dunya well, you know, if he always consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be happy even in his old age.
So if you have lived according to what Allah has asked you to live, then when the youth ends, you're not going to have much of things to regret about.
Okay, yeah, not much things to regret about.
Yeah, and it is an opportunity for you to take advantage of this spring of your life, to mm-hmm. make the most of it, and to, as just you mentioned, to go for things that usually the old people do, but they wish they could have done it in their young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's a narration, it's not coming to mind, so I'm just paraphrasing it. You know, like youth, the phase of youth is like the clouds. You know, it passes away.
Yeah.
Once it passes away, it doesn't come back.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. So, exactly. So we have to keep this in our mind. So, and we have to, you know, work on it. so that we do not have to regret later on.
Exactly. Yeah. And unfortunately, we're running out of time. And this is exactly the point where we have to say bye to everyone. So from my side and from Brother Hassanein and from all the crew in here, I would bid you farewell and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is the Rahman? Allah, who is the Mannan?
La ilaha.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atan, the host of this program. Brother Suhail is here to answer our questions. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, dear viewers. Thank you, brother.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about we can say an important event which took place in the history of Islam, and that is the split of the moon at the time of Prophet Shaqqul Qamar. How much possible is this, that the moon must be split at the time of Prophet by miracle or so?
The first thing is that we have a verse in the Holy Quran that says that the hour has drawn near and the moon has split. Mm-hmm. And that such a miracle was performed by the Holy Prophet is beyond doubt, as it is attested by the both Quran and the Sunnah. As to the details, however, the hadith disagrees, since the hadith that recount the incident are not ascertainable when taken individually. The details provided therein are dubious. What can be said with certainty is that the Prophet pointed to the moon, which caused it to split in half. This is much of the story is verified by the Quran. And we have, for example, right now, even if you go on Google and search the split moon, we have claims as well as scientific proof that the moon is split.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there documents over there? For
so we have some vocations of like the result of what the scientists said regarding the moon. And I would like to bring just a few of the quotes from the scientists from NASA, of which it starts from this. Okay, so first we want to bring a physical proof by someone who saw the split of the moon at the same time when it split in Hijaz at that time. So when the Prophet pointed at the moon and it split, there was somewhere else where someone saw this incident.
What was the main reason for happening such a thing? Why, for example, the moon must be split?
Normally, these kind of miracles takes place to provide proof of the Prophet's prophethood.
Mm-hmm.
And between the disbelievers, there had been a kind of dispute regarding Prophet and calling him a magician or something after the event. And before the event, they were trying to point out proofs from the Holy Prophet to bring something that they could believe that he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all right. Okay.
So
should I bring the physical proof that the person saw?
Yes.
Okay. So in ancient India, documented, quoted by Muhammad Hamidullah in his book, Muhammad the Messenger of Allah, mentioned that a king in Malabar, southern India, by the name of Chakravarti Farmas, had witnessed the splitting of the moon and informed others, and traveled to Mecca to meet the Prophet. He accepted Islam and returned back to India, but died in the way back and buried in a place called Zafar. The whole thing is to point out that at that time, apart from Hijaz, there was another place that this split was seen. While there are other doubts that people create, okay, why the whole world did not see, and we know about this from this thing. For example, if we see right now, the difference of timings between Hijaz and India is not that much. So if it was night in Hijaz, it would certainly be night in India, while other parts of the world would be day, so they wouldn't be able to view this split. However, from the scientists that we have, I'm trying to get the name of the scientist, if I could.
Okay.
But the details that are there already right now in the sites that are available from NASA, if I'm not mistaken, this is what they say. So the moon's surface is totally correct. Analysis of the lunar surface reveals that it's far more fractured than once thought. The damage goes far deeper than that, with cracks extending to the depth of 12 miles, which is 20 kilometers. Rima Ariadios is one of the several linear rail systems nestled in the highlands between Mar Vaporum, and these are some names that they are used.
Yes.
And it shows that the crack is deepened to the core of the moon, so it is believed that it has been splitted into two halves. However, so the crack is still visible till today from the images that are there.
Yes.
However, there is a difference of narration of how that crack is there.
But all in all, we could see that it was a miracle done by Prophet Muhammad at that time, okay, against the mushrikeen of his time.
I think like this should be more than enough for okay. We have provided the Quranic evidence, the hadith that are over there, the physical vision of the proof, and the scientific proof of the moon crack that is available, of which we can come to a conclusion that was split once.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons the scientists want to believe is to be a cause and effects splitting of the moon, rather than the Holy Prophet, because they don't find history being too much into their scientific research. But we have also seen that we have a lot of verses in the Holy Quran that have been mentioned 1400 years ago, and recently the scientists have discovered.
That's right.
So this might not be the end point of the research that they have done. In future, maybe they might come to the same conclusions where they would see what they're saying and what the Quran is saying to be same.
There are also some opinions of some scientists and ulama who says that, for example, miracles like this or events like this are among the ashratu sa'a, or the signs of the day of judgment. For example, before akhar al-zaman or something like that, such cases will happen. We are not still sure about the would it again happen in the future or not, but what is known according to said in the Holy Quran and the Ahadith is that we can say it took place. That's all right. Thank you very much, Shaykh, for a nice elaboration. Let's take a break, and after I will get to the next question for today's program.
Sure.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
So welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For today's discussion, we covered two questions. In the first episode, we talked about the split of the moon. And now we want to talk about people of the right hand and the left hand in the Holy Quran, Ashab al-Yamin and Ashab al-Shumal. What are they exactly, Shaykh?
Okay, so from the verses that we have, it says that wa ashab al-mash'ama, ma ashab al-mash'ama wa sabiqun as-sabiqun. Then there are the coming four verses that says fasalamun laka min ashab al-yamin. It is verse number 91.
Or ashab al-maymana.
Or ashab al-maymana.
Yes.
Ashab al-shimal.
Yes.
So these are some words that are repetitive in different words, but they mean the same thing. So here what it's saying, and the people of the left and the people of the right. So what does it mean, people of the left and people of the right? So here it says that the Holy Quran divides mankind into two categories, blissful and damned. Okay. In another category, they're divided into three. Okay. Then this is Surah number 56, verse number 7 to 11. Then shall you be divided into three kinds. Thus there shall be as such as have attained to what is right. Oh, how happy will they be, those who have attained to what is right, and there shall be such as will have lost themselves in evil. Or how unhappy would they have been for those they have received from their left, and they who are always drawn close to God. You see, verse number 7 to 11. In the first note, it identifies that we have the people of the left and the right, where the left and the right, if you try to understand how we receive our scroll of deeds.
Okay.
So those of us who receive from the right-hand side or from the right is the deeds, the good deeds, while those who are receiving from the left are the damned people that receive from the left hand, and they're the damned, or they go towards hell. The evil people, the bad people, that they are there.
Okay.
The Holy Quran introduces in one part of a group known as companions of the right, which is Ashabil Yamin.
Yes.
And then introduces another group of companions of the left called Ashabul Mash'ama.
Your Shemal, if you
yeah.
can say. That's right. Okay.
This nomination is not superficial at all and does not intend to be so. Whatsoever, it includes, in fact, a series of divine secrets and represents truthful facts about afterlife. So here we have seen that regarding Ashabil Yamin are the people that are going to be going to heaven, inshallah, and Ashabul Mash'ama or Ashabul Shimal also are people who are going to hell. And these people are like those who have sinned and have done atrocities in this world and any other bad acts and deeds that they have done, while Ashabil Yamin are...
But this right and left is not necessarily right and left what we find in this world, isn't it? It surely, for example, it's referring to the right actions and the wrong actions might be, isn't it?
So that is the what do you call...
The literal meaning?
Yeah, yeah. So you can take it both ways, because the Quran is... can be translated literally to left and right. At the same time, it can be translated into not a literal meaning, but giving you a message that you can understand. So when they say right and left literally, because of the scrolls that we receive, so the people who are doing good, they receive from the right, and the people who do bad, they will receive the scroll of deeds from the left-hand side. So that is the literal meaning. The other meaning is right and wrong, as you said. So you can interpret it both ways as well.
That's all right. Okay. Is it true that according to the Shiite beliefs, for example, Ashab al-Yamin refers to the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ashab al-Shamal to non-followers?
So we do have in narrations that Ashab al-Yamin, Yamin means Amirul Mumineen Ali alayhi salam. And Ashab al-Yamin means followers of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. So we have a tradition that also states that Ashab al-Yamin are the followers of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, of which there are some details of, for example, the standard for being a blessed soul. How can we be Ashab al-Yamin and how can we be Ashab al-Shimal? What are the standard? What do we do to be the people of the right and not the people of the left? So in several cases, the Holy Quran has spoken about specific and fundamental standards which exist in regards to the blessed souls or the damned souls. It also speaks about characteristics with which individuals are destined to become damned as noble as in the noble surah of Surah Naziat, verse 37 to 39.
Yes.
Wherefore unto him who shall have transgressed the bounds of the what is right, and prefer the life of this world to the hereafter, that blazing fire will truly be the goal.
That's right.
Yeah.
People of the right hand believe in God and the judgments of the day of the resurrection.
Yeah.
They advise one another to patience and compassion, feed the orphans and the people in need, and emancipate their slaves. This is one ayah. In another ayah we read, when they die, the angels send regards and peace to them. On the day of resurrection, they will be examined easily, and after the examination, they will happily return to their family.
Yes.
And also in the heaven, they will be in the high position and will be happy with their life. According to the verses of Surah Al-Waqi'a, people of the right hand live in the heaven near waterfalls, under the shadows of trees, enjoying the fruits and variety of heavenly blessings. These are the details we have from the Holy Quran and Ahadith.
Yes.
From Ashab al-Yameen or Ashab al-Maymana, and also Ashab al-Shamal or Ashab al-Mash'ama, as you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. People of the left hand, which can be both literally referred to the right and left, and right actions and the wrong actions. The people
of
the right
of
and
which
wrong.
Here there are just a few characteristics for those who will be in hell. For example, the first ones are those who will rebel and be disobedient before Allah's commandments. At the same time, they'll be fleeing from his true worship and servitude. Mm-hmm. While number two is becoming an individual who values his or her physical earthly life more than anything else, mm-hmm. while at the same time abandoning the hereafter by ignoring and neglecting utterly its importance. For the same thing, for the people who are of the right, the Ashabul Yameen, one will be the fearing God's great status, eminent position as one and unique creator. Two, disobeying the worldly desires and vile passions, mm-hmm. as announced in Surah Naziat, verse 40 to 41.
Yes.
But unto him who shall have stood in fear of his sustainer's presence and held back his inner self from the best desires, paradise will truly be the main goal.
That's right. Thank you much, Brother Suhail, for a nice elaboration regarding two topics, the split of the Munshaq al-Ghamar and also the people of the right and the left hand, Ashab al-Yameen and Ashab al-Shamal. It
thank
was very
much.
Kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode, God bless you all. Fiyam on Allah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday of spring, May 14th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. As I always say, Listeners Special, the Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and we are back with you. And as usual, we've received many reception reports from around the world, from Seema Paul from India, from Massimo Lombardi from Italy, and Paul Duarte from Portugal. So Seema, Massimo, and Paul, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. So we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. And you know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service for our great listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving an electronic or EQSL card from us. Thank you. And let's see who has sent us emails and letters from around the world. From Indonesia, we've received an email from Sutomo Huang. Konstantin Provatoro from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Mohammad Fazli from Malaysia has sent us an email. From Spain, we've received an email from David Rodriguez. And the last but not the least is an email from Massimo Lombardi from Italy. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. As I said, Sutomo Huang from Indonesia has sent us a message, an email. So let's see what Sutomo says. Dear friends, I am glad to inform you that I am enjoying your interesting and informative radio programs regularly on your website, internet streaming, and podcasting. The reason for contact you here is I want you to send me some bulletin, postcards, stickers, stamps, etc., promotional items, souvenirs. Please try to send me some more for our references and collection use. With very best wishes and best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, Sutomo Huang from Indonesia. Many thanks for this email to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Sutomo Huang from Indonesia, we're so glad to hear your notions and views about our broadcast. And of course, we respect them totally. We're so glad to hear that you are enjoying our interesting and informative radio programs. As sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted, so please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to your email. Sutomo from Indonesia, thank you again for this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Russia, we've received an email from Konstantin Provatorov, one of our old and regular listeners. Konstantin says, Dear staff, I had a great pleasure to log into your station radio IRIB and sending you my reception report, hoping that you will be able to verify it. Would you be kind enough to send me a QSL card? I enclosed audio files recording your broadcast. Thank you in advance for your reply. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Appreciations to you for this message, Konstantin Provotorov from Russia. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification, as sending any material, including paper QSL card, is not possible at the time. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Konstantin Provotorov from Russia. So, after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So you just heard a piece of traditional music from Iran, which was really beautiful, and I enjoyed it a lot. So as I said, Muhammad Fazli from Malaysia has sent us an email. Muhammad says, "Assalamu alaikum and greetings. Here is the reception report of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The signal quality is fair. The Iranian music was the best part of the broadcast. As usual, the broadcast programs were excellent. If my reception report is helpful, an acknowledgement by QSL would be much appreciated. Thank you. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran to Malaysia to Muhammad Fazli. Many thanks for your support and commitment to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. So you like the Iranian music as well as the programs of IRIB English Radio. It's really good to hear that. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you and, of course, your views and notions about our broadcast. So please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to your email. Muhammad Fazli from Malaysia. From Spain, we've received an email from David Rodriguez Ferro. So let's see what David says. Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, hereby I send you a reception report about your recent transmission. It's so great that it is possible to listen to your station with a portable radio receptor. I hope you find my report useful, and if the details are correct, I would appreciate it if you could check it with one of your QSL cards. Best regards and peace. Salam, peace, and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. David Rodriguez Ferro from Spain. Thank you for this email. Of course, carrying a portable radio receptor is, I think, everyone's wish, at least for IRIB English Radio listeners. David Rodriguez Ferro from Spain, thank you for this email. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Please accept our EQSL or electronic QSL from us. Thank you again. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. And after a short break, I will be back with you with an email from Massimo Lombardi from Italy. So let's go to Massimo Lombardi's email from Italy. Massimo Lombardi from Italy says, "Hi, I send you my reception report from Savona, Italy. I should say that the overall reception was good. Please send me a QSL to confirm my report. Have a nice day and thank you for your programs. Salam, ciao. Warm greetings from Iran, from Tehran, and from IRAB English Radio staff, Massimo Lombardi. Thank you for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as a confirmation to your email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing your notions and views about IRAB English Radio programs and broadcasts.